Daf is Daf Chaf Hey. We got to two lines down. The two dots. Sabe de Nu Nezunia. Sabe de Nezunia. These all the people from Nezunia. Lo asi the pirkei Rav Chisda. One day they didn't show up to shir. Amar le Rav Hamnuna. They said to, rather Rav Chisda said to Rav Hamnuna, Zil taninu, go hide them. What does it mean? Zil taninu says Rashi. Amar aleim say to them, lahasker leisha bebayis, stay home. Vizel lashon nidoy. They were excommunicated. Can you imagine if people didn't show up to shir, they get excommunicated? So that's what he said. He was very upset that they didn't show up to shir that day. So Azil, so Rav Hamnuna went, Amar lahu, my time lo asur rabbanu lepirka. He asked the elders of Nezunia, why didn't you show up to shir today? Amar lei, amai nitain, why should we come? Dabina minei milsa, we asked Rav Chisda Shaila, velo pashitlan, he didn't answer us. So Amar lahu, mi baisa minei midi, velo pashitlan lahu. Did you ever ask me a question in the past and I didn't answer you? Says Rav Hamnuna asking me the question. So by Mine, they asked from Rav Hamnuna, Eved Shesir Su Rabba Bebeitze Mahu. So an Eved who had sterilized a Eved that was sterilized by his master, Bebeitzim, in the area of the Beitzim, Mahu. What's the din? Is that considered a Kumum Sheba Galidami? Allah? Is that considered something exposed and would be one of the Rashi Avarim and you'd go free? Or is that considered something that's hidden, Benister, and would not go free? Lahavi biyade, Rav Hamnuna didn't know the answer to this question. So Amr lo, so they say to Rav Hamnuna, Mashimcha, what's your name? Amr lo Hamnuna, my name's Hamnuna. Amr lo, they say to him, Lav Hamnuna ela Karnuna. You're not Hamnuna, your name now is Karnuna. What does Karnuna mean? Says Rashi, two lines down, what narrow lines down, Yoshev Kranos Atav lo Baltar. You're sitting in the corners, you're not learning it, or you're wasting your time, you don't know anything. So also the comment of Chista. So then Rav Hamnuna reports back to Rav Chista. Amr lo, Masisa, Rav Chista says, what's the problem? It's a Mefurish Braisa. By Minach, they asked you about Bryce, you didn't know the answer. The Tanan, really a mission. The mission appears in Meseches Negam, related to this week's Parsha. Esim Varba Rashi Varm Sheba Adam, 24 heads, tips of the different limbs, in a person, Kulam Ein Metamin Mishum Michya. Rashi tells us, based on this week's Parsha, that Michya is one of the types of Negam. So if this Nega appears on 24 Evarim and 24 different Evarim, it does not qualify as a Nega. It has to be in a different part of the body. The Eluhim, and the following, these are the following Rosh Evarim. Rosh Etzbos, the tips of the fingers, Yadayim, V'raglayim, the hands, the toes, Rosh Eznayim, the ears, Rosh Echotem, the nose, Rosh Egvia, that's referring to the Gid, the male organ, Rosh Edadim, Shebeisha, so the chest of the woman. That's the, according to the Tanakhama. Even Dadim, even of the man, the chest of the man, would also qualify as Rashi Evarim. And if they were to find a Nega on any of these places, so that would not qualify as a Nega of the Michya type of Nega. The Taniela, and then there's a Braisa that adds on to this Mishnah, Bechulam Eved Yos De Behem Lecheres. And parallel to this, if any of these Evarim get cut out, then the guy Eved goes free. So if the tip of his ear gets cut off, his finger gets cut off, he's Yotze Lecheres. And Rebbe Omer Af Haseres, even Haseres, we'll see in a second what that means. And Benazi Omer Af Halashon, even if the tongue was removed, that also qualifies, even though it's exposed, somewhat not exposed, according to Benazi, that's considered a Mum Shebegale, and the Eved would go free if his tongue gets cut off. But we see from here, from this Mishnah, it's explicit that when it comes to Siris right now, we'll get to that in a second, Siris does serve as the Eved will go free if he gets Siris done to him. So Gemara wants to know, Amar Mar, Rebbe Omer, after Siris, that Siris works Gesundheit, after Siris, he also goes free. So what does it mean Siris? Siris Demai, what part of the body, Siris is when he sterilizes the person, he can't have children anymore. So Siris Demai. Ilema Siris de Gid, it's referring to the male organ, Hainu Gvia. The Mishnah already, the Tanakhama already lists Gvia as being one of the ways of going out. So Rebbe's not repeating what the Tanakhama said, Ela Lav Siris de Beitim. It must be that when we mentioned Gid in the Tanakhama, that's referring to the Aver. But when Rebbe said Af Siris, he's referring to even the Siris of the Beitim, that part of the body, that too qualifies as a Rosh Evarim, and the Eved would go free. And that is the answering the question of the Zikne, the Sabe of Nezunia. Okay, now the Gemara wants to know, is it really true that Rebbe Omer Afasiris, Rebbe Lashon Lo? Rebbe agreed to all the previous 24 things mentioned in the Mishnah, and he said also Siris the Beitim is also a way an Eved goes free. But he did not include Lashon, only Ben Azai said that if the tongue gets cut off, he goes free. But Rebbe didn't say that the tongue goes out. If the Eved's tongue gets cut off, he doesn't go free. And the idea is because the Lashon, according to Rebbe, sounds like the Machlokas is Lashon the tongue considered Begaloi or is it not Begaloi? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So Rebbe says it's not considered Begaloi. Rumini, who asks the question, Harei Misha Yamazev, and this is a Wa'aza Al Piv, a person who's getting sprinkled for the Paraduma, and it lands on his mouth. Rebbe Omer, it's considered a good sprinkling, and Chachamim Omer Melohiza. And Chacham say it's not a good sprinkling. My love, Al-Lashono, when it talks about landing on the piv, is not referring to landing on the tongue. And Rebbe says it's considered a good hazah. And the din that hazah has to go on the outside of the body, it can't be internally. So the fact that Rebbe thinks that hazah on the tongue is considered a good hazah tells us that the Lashon is considered begaloi. So how come above Rebbe says that the Lashon is not considered begaloi? It won't allow the Eved to go free. That's the steer. And the Gemara says that you misunderstood this brisa. It's not referring to landing on the lashon, the sprinkling. Lo al shvasav, it's referring to on the lips. If it lands on the lips, that will be good a hazah. But if it lands on the tongue, Rebbe would be the shita, so it wouldn't work on the tongue, just like it wouldn't work to be yotze the evit. Gemara says, al shvasav, shita. The lips are externally exposed. Everyone's lips are exposed. Of course that works. What's the machlokas? How could Chachamim say it doesn't work on the lips? It certainly is exposed. Gemara says, mal the same, but what would you have thought? Zimnin de chalim svase. Sometimes you're going to really tightly close your lips, and your lips will be hidden inside your mouth, and it won't work. Kamashmalan says, Rebbe, that still it works. Right, Rashi said, you see Rashi de chalim, it's around 15 narrow lines up, de chalim. Soger piv bechazake. You close your lips very tightly. Aches svasav nidbaka's mode. They're very tightly closed. They're attached to each other. It's not considered exposed. Since it's closed sometimes, it's considered, even when it is exposed, we view that as something that's considered hidden. Kamashlan Rebbe says, no, lips are considered part of the outside of the body. When it comes to a tongue, that is part of the inside of the body. The Gemara says, what do you mean, Vahatanya? But doesn't the Brice explicitly say, Al Lishono, if it's on the tongue, that if it falls on the tongue, it does work? And oh, there's another brisa that tells us, Shinital Rov Halashon. If most of the tongue is taken off, and Rashi tells us that we're referring to a mum that's found in a bechor. All the discussions of mumim are found.
This is a different brisa because our brisa says the pe, al pi.
This is a different brisa. The different brisa says that this mission we did interpreted befiv means lips.
Right.
But there's another brisa that explicitly says, Alashono. If the hazah falls on the tongue, that actually does qualify as a hazah. And there's another brayis in the context of mumim. All the discussions of mumim that are found in Shas are found in Maseches Bechoros. In the middle there, talks about which mumim are going to disqualify a bechor. So one of the brayis there in that Mishnah, in the Gemara, the Perek of Bechoros, it says, Shenitel Rov Halashon, if most of the tongue of an animal is taken off, that's considered a mum. And Rebbe comments on that brayis, Rebbe Omer, Rov Hamidaber Shebelashono, most of the part that speaks with. If you look at Rashi, around seven narrow lines up, Rov Hamidaber, Mimakom Prishas Dibuko, Ulamala Kari Medaber. When the tongue is separate, the part that hangs over, not the tongue that goes to part of the back of the mouth, the part that's considered that moves, Rov of that part has to be removed in order for it to be considered a mum. So either way, we see that Rebbe clearly thinks, and when it comes to, I remember I mentioned yesterday, that there's a big parallel between which Avarim caused the Eved to go free and the Mumim that applied to a Bechor. So what comes out here, the qualifications for a Mum has to be also a Mum Shebegaloi. So since he says the tongue is considered a Mum, it has to be a Begaloi. So you see now, Lashon is considered Begaloi. It's considered Begaloi in terms of Hazah. It's considered Begaloi in terms of Mumim. So how could Rebbe above, in the Rosh Evarim, say that Lashon does not allow an Eved to go free? It clearly is considered Begaloi, according to all these brises. Fine, we're good with that question? So Gemara says, fine. Ela Rebbe Omer Siris. Rebbe doesn't say Afa Siris, he just says Siris. He adds Siris, but he's not coming to exclude Lashon. The Lomi by Lashon. He says Siris is certainly Siris is a Rosh Evarim. And needless to say, Lashon certainly is. Lashon is certainly the tongue. It's certainly more begaloi than Siris of the Beitim. It's a Kal V'chomer. If you list Siris, so then certainly Lashon's going to be exposed and a mum as well. And Rashi Evar. So Rebbe does include Lashon. So Ben Azai argues Amar Lashon aval Siris lo. He argues. He says, no, only the tongue is considered begaloi, but Siris of the Beitim is not considered begaloi. That's where Ben Azai argues. So Gemara says, Umay Af. if Ben Azir really is coming to limit, he shouldn't be saying Ahalashon. He's coming to say only, should be saying Lashon Bilvad, not Ahalashon. So Gemara says, my af, Akamais, he's going back on the previous parts of the Mishnah. Rebbe's kind of in the way. I mean, you have 24 listed. Rebbe says Lashon and Siris, and Ben Azir says only Lashon. Why they say af Lashon? Because he's going back, he's skipping Rebbe.
Right, the 24 plus Lashon.
Exactly, he completely ignores Rebbe. So it's Gemara says, if he's ignoring Rebbe, Ahachi, Nikmede Ben Azai, Bereshit, it really should say, the 24, Rashi Varm, Ben Azai adds Lashon, Rebbe adds even Siris, that should have been the proper order. The Gemara says, Tana Shama Lid Rebbe, the Kava. The Tana who's putting together this Braisa heard Rebbe Shita. So he put the Tana Kama, the 24, and then put Rebbe in. And then Shama Lid Ben Azai, then afterwards he heard Ben Azai is another Shita. So really he should put Ben Azai before Rebbe. He should change the order now, that Ben Azai really comes before Rebbe. But we have a Klal, Tani U Mishnah Lo Zazamim Komo. Once the Mishnah was already Kavua, which was Tana Kama 24, and then Rebbe, you can't stick Ben Azai in the middle and change the whole Nusach, because they already memorized all the Mishnayos. So now I have to tell all the kids to start rememorizing in a different way, that's going to throw them off. So we just added another line of Ben Azai at the end, without having to change the order, but you're right, logically, it would make sense to have 24, Ben Azai adds Lashon, and Rebbe adds Af Hasiris. But for technical reasons, we leave Ben Azai at the end. Okay. So Gemara now says, Amar Ula. Ula says, Behakol modim bilashon linin tuma de galay hu etal sheretz. Everybody agrees, with respect to the halachas of tuma, that the lashon is considered begalay, it's considered exposed. Right, Rashi just tells us here, I'm going to read everything inside, but tuma only, by tumas maga, when you touch on the different ways to contract tuma, sometimes tumas riyah, by seeing something, a woman who's nida or a man who's a balkari, that's tumas riyah. By seeing something makes him tame or her tame. Some things make you tame by touching it. Touching a mace, touching a sheretz makes you tame. So the negiyah has to be something, part of the body that's outside. Can't be the base of starm. It can't be something that's hidden, that's internal. Has to be something exposed. So when it comes to linyan tuma, the tongue is considered begaloi when it comes to a sheretz. If someone's tongue were to touch a sheret, says the Gemara, that's considered a goloi, and the guy would be considered tamei. My time asks the Gemara, why is that true? Asheyiga bo amrachmana, that when you touch the sherets, v'hai nami bar negihu, that's you, the tongue touches things. So the tongue is included in this. Rashi says, let's look at Rashi for a second. Bar negihu, it's around 8 lines up from the bottom. Bar negia kiyadavu, the tongue touches just like the hand touches. Begali, in an exposed manner. Sharei motzi lashono v'nogin babagai. You stick your tongue out and you touch something. Hilkach nega sheret bilshono timeo. So therefore, if a sheret were to touch the tongue or your tongue were to touch the sheret, that makes you tamei. Now, with respect to in tevila, when going to the mikvah, kitamen dami. The tongue is considered internal and the water does not have to touch your mouth. You don't open your mouth. The person goes to the mikvah, a woman goes to the mikvah, a man goes to the mikvah, you're not supposed to open your mouth. You can if you want, it's disgusting to, but you certainly don't have to open your mouth. You shouldn't close it too tight either. They say, we mentioned before, the lips. You can't shut your lips or your eyes too tight because then you're covering some of the exposed parts, your lips, which should be, you should have everything loose but closed. So in regards to tevila, the tongue is considered internal. You don't have to have the water touch it. My time, why? The rachatz bisaro b'mayim, the pasuk says, the water has to go in the flesh. Rachman of the Torah says, Ma bisara me'avrai, just like the flesh is on the outside, af, kol me'avrai, so to everything else on the outside, the lashon is not on the outside, the tongue is not. So that's the distinction we have. So what's the machlokas? Lo nechlaku, we had above the machlokas Rebbe and Chachamim, about the lashon. What's the machlokas? Lo nechlaku elolinin hazah. Does the tongue, if the sprinkling touches the tongue, does that qualify? Rebbe medami le tuma. Rebbe compares it to tuma, that just like by tuma, tongue is considered a negir, so to hazah, the lashon is considered a hazah. Rabbanin medami le tevila, compared to tevila, just like the lashon is considered internal, so too, if the hazah were to fall on the lashon, it would not work. It's considered internal. The hazah has to be on the outside of the body. For Tavayu, both Rebbe and Chachamim, Bahai Kra Kamiflagi, they're arguing about the very same pasuk, how to interpret the pasuk. What's the pasuk? The pasuk says, "Vihiza ha-tower." The tower person sprinkles ahatame. Last week's parsha, he sprinkles onto the tame the paraduma. So, Rebbe Savar, "Hiza ha-tower ahatame b'yom ha-shlishi u'b'yom ha-shvi v'cheto." He'll become tower. So, we're connecting what the idea of tuma to hazah. Just like regarding Tumah, Lashon is on the outside, Hazah is also on the outside. That's Hazat. He's a Tar al Tameh, the connection of Hazat to Tameh. For Rabbanan Savrei, says the Gemara, V'chid to b'yom ha'shivii, v'chibes begad v'rachas b'mayim. He's comparing Hazat to the end of the Pasuk, where it talks about going to the mikvah. So he compares the Hazat to the Tevila, the end, that the Lashon is considered internal regarding Tevila. Therefore, the Lashon is considered internal also with respect to the Hazah as well. So the Gemara asks now, Rabbanan nami nidmai l'tumah. So why don't the Rabbanan connect it to Tumah? The Pasuk also connects Hazah to Tumah. So the Gemara explains, Tara mitara havelei lemelef. It makes more sense to compare Tevila and Hazah. Tevila and Hazah are accomplishing the same thing, making the person tahor. One's through the mikvah, one's through the sprinkling of the parduma. That makes much more sense to connect the two. That's what Rabbanan do. So now the Gemara asks, what about Rebbe? So Rebbe then should be nidad mi l'tevila. He should compare Hazah to Tevila and not to Tumah. Gemara says you can't do that, even though logically Rebbe agrees. Logically, you're right. Hazah and Tevila make much more sense. For technical reasons, he explains, v'chibes begadav hifsek inin. The Pasuk says Hayiza in the beginning and doesn't say until the end Tevila. There's a big separation in the middle. So therefore, for technical reasons, you cannot connect Hazah to Tevila. You therefore have to connect Hazah to Tumah. Gemara now says, fine. V'sava Rebbe linen Tevila kitamandami? Is that really true? Does Rebbe think that when it comes to the mikvah, that Lashon is considered internal? V'ha amar Rabban, amar Ravada, amar Rabbi Yitzchak, ma'isa b'shivcha she'beis Rebbe. There's once a shivcha in the house of Rebbe. She tavla, she went to the mikvah. V'alsa, and she came up. V'nimtza and sevma bein shina. She had a piece of meat stuck between her tooth. V'tzricha Rebbe tvila charis, and Rebbe required her to go to another tvila.
Garis?
It must be Garis, because there's no nida by a shivcha. It must be Garis. Let's see. They say why?
Since the laws of Tumah,
I just stamped Tumah Vatara. That nida doesn't apply to them on a deraisa level. Which could be true. Rebbe wasn't a kohen, I don't think.
Yeah, he was machmir.
Maybe okay.
It's like this: when they buy them, they have to be one tree.
Ah, that could be.
And then they have to keep.
What about Tumah
Sharis? And then they have to.
When you first buy
them,
it's part of the din.
That's part of the din. Mari Vama said, any other Tumah, not Tumah Eling, Tumah's nida applies. Maybe Tumah Sharis or Tumah's mace.
If it's Knani, they have to have a
tefila, and it has to be with no chatzitza.
And then it also that once they are like that, they need to keep certain din of Tumah.
Okay, so either way, so she came out, and there's a bone stuck between her teeth, and Rebbe required her to do it to another tefila. So we see that internal in the mouth is a problem. And that's why Paskin. You know, it's a shaila. A woman has braces. Could she go to the mikveh with braces? Cavities. Temporary cavities, permanent cavities are okay because that's part of the body. A temporary cavity that's there for a few weeks could be a real big problem because it's something that shouldn't be there, that's there just temporarily. But these are shahs that come up, l'halach l'maisa. So we see even within the mouth is considered a problem. So how could he say that the tongue is internal when it comes to tevila? The water is supposed to go through the mouth. So the Gemara explains, Nihi debias mayim labayinan. No, everyone agrees the water doesn't have to go. You don't have to open your mouth in the mikvah. But makam haroy lavobo mayim bayinan. You have to have the ability that, in theory, if you were to open your mouth, it would pass through without having any chatzitas there. And that's the famous line, Kedir Rabbi Zeira. Then Rabbi Zeira, kol haroy labila ein bila makaves bo, shen haroy labila bila makaves bo. Talking about menachos and placing the oil. You don't have to actually mix all the oil with flour, but it has to be roy, where the oil, in theory, can be mixed together evenly, even though you didn't mix it. But if it's not able to be, if too much flour, where there's not enough oil to spread out, then the bila will be makev and will prevent it. So here, in the same case, if there's a chatzitza in the mouth, it's not right. If the mouth were to be open, it would be chatzitza. But if there's no chatzitza, there's nothing in the mouth, then closing it's fine as long as it's roy for water to pass through without there being any chatzitzas at all.
Does this apply to the lashon itself, or it's only for the chatzitza? Meaning, would Rebbe agree that if the water can come in, he's yotze for the lashon also, or not?
Well, the idea of lashon, you're just saying lashon is considered, it's not considered internal, it's considered exposed. So for his halacha, that hazah, if the hazah were to hit the tongue, so it would be considered a good hazah.
But he's saying a tefillah would also apply.
You don't need it. I mean, there's no din by the lashon of mikvah.
It's a raya, no?
What's the raya?
You see that the mitzvah is that. saying that it was all the mice.
The whole mice is that he says that.
Right, not by the tongue. No, not the tongue. The mice was the tooth.
Yeah.
Anything internal.
No, the mice, yeah.
There's no case of the tongue being a problem for mikvah. There's no chatzitza on the tongue. Right. There's no way it will actually come out. You're not going to open your mouth. You don't open your mouth up.
Right. You need the schmaltz. I mean,
but,
right.
What if they have one of these tongue...
A tongue ring.
You may want to tear the tongue ring.
Uh-huh.
You have to take it out.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. I guess that would be a good point. Yeah. If a person has a tongue ring, you have to take the tongue ring out. Yeah.
So they are. Those are loose. Those.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
I mean, they can't be too loose.
I don't know. But either way, they
it's crazy goals.
Either way, I feel like I had that in the past also, though.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
By humans.
Fine. Says the Gemara of Haman Beis Kitanai. It's really Machlokas Tanayim. So going back to the question now, Rashi tells us which Tanai. Serious debate me Havi Mum Galu. We went into a bit of a sidetrack about the Lashon, but our previous discussion was about whether or not serious of the Beitim, is that considered a Mum Shabagalu? Is that considered something Beseser? So the Gemara tells us it's really machlokas tanaim. I think this Bryce appears in Maseches Bechoros as well. That same discussion of all the mumim. So the Gemara says, based on the pasuk is usually in Parsha Emor, I think. Yeah, Parsha Emor lists all the different mumim of animals. It also lists the mumim of kohanim. So it says umal, the kosis v'nasuk v'karis. These are different types of mumim, crushed or severed of the gid and the beitz, some different parts. So different ways that they get severed. So that's the psukim. But the pasuk doesn't say it's referring to the gid or it's referring to the beitzim. So the Braisa says the Tanakama kulon bebeitzim divi Rabbi Huda. So all the cases in the Mishnah and the pasuk rather referring to the beitzim. Gemara says bebeitzim velo begid, only beitzim. But if it happened to the gid, that wouldn't be a mum. Certainly not. It's more of a psul by the gid than it is by the beitzim. Ela kulon ap bebeitzim divi Rabbi Huda. No, all the mumim are applying to the gid. Certainly the gid, and so to af even to the beitzim if they happen to the beitzim. That's according to Rabbi Huda. So you see, Rabbi Huda holds that Sirius does apply to Beitim. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Amer Kulam Begid. No, it's only talking about the Gid, not the Beitim. So that's Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Eliezer. Does it also apply to Beitim? Does Sirius apply to Beitim or not? And just to finish off the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer Malch Vakasas Af Beitim, Nasik Vakaris Begid in Beitim Lo. He splits it up. The first two psul mentioned in the Torah apply also to Beitim. And the second two that are mentioned only apply to the Gid and do not apply to the Beitim. Okay, that ends our discussion of Rashi Avarim. It ends our discussion of Avadim. So just in terms of the parak right now, we've discussed the first 14 blot of Maseches Gittin, Kedushin rather, is Kedushin. The next 10 blot were about Avadim. Now we're getting to a section on Kinyanim, a new topic. Okay, the Mishnah tells us, Behema Gasa, a large animal, is Niknes B'Mesira. By Mesira, by handing over the reins, that's how you do Mesira. And look at Rashi. The Machlokas Rashi tells us how exactly Mesira takes place. So Rashi explains in the Mishnah, Niknes b'Mesira ba'aleha mosim the ba'aleha. The owner of the animal, let's call it a cow. A cow qualifies as a behemah gasa. So the owner of the cow hands over osa l'lokech ba'afsar or b'sara, either by the hair or maybe by what do they call a, I don't know, what's around the neck, a collar maybe. I don't know if you call a collar for a cow, but something around the neck or the hair to hand it over to the cow. Yad b'yad. So if you look at Tosos writes, Dimaraskal Behema Gasa, Niknes B'Mesira. So you Daik from Rashi, it sounds like you need a yad the yad. The Baal has to hand over the reins to the owner. If you go down a few lines within that Tosos, four Y lines down, the first word in the line is Batalpi, Mashma Shemi Atzmo, Ochsa V'lo Maser Lo Adam. No, the new owner just grabs it. He doesn't have to get handed over. You don't have to pass it from one hand to the next. Just take it by the horns. And that's all. And that's enough. You don't have to have miyad miyad. This is part of a larger discussion exactly of how kinyanim work. Is it about showing bailus? Is it about das? Is it about maisa? Is it showing das of the makna? Does a baal have to show he's relinquishing rights? Or is it just enough for the new owner to show that he has rights to this? It's a large discussion. There's a whole world of kinyanim. But that's machlokes Rashi tells us. Does it have to be miyad liyad, or the lokeach could just take hold of the reins? Then the Mishnah says again, behemah gasa niknes b'mesira v'adak, a small animal, let's say like a goat, is considered a smaller animal. Bagba, you just lift up the goat, and that's going to qualify as a kinyan. Divrei Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Eliezer, Divrei Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Eliezer. Chachamim omrim behemah daka niknes b'mesicha. They argue that it says no. that Mishicha works. You pull the goat. You drag the goat, and that's how you acquire.
Not Hagbah.
So you have to figure out how that works. Is it Hagbah seemingly would be the best. Hagbah is usually the greatest kiddin.
It's not practical.
Right.
It depends.
But I believe, I don't much of the Gemara says it, but I believe we hold, I think we'll say this. Hagbah also will work according to Chachamim. Rabbi Meir says only Hagbah works. Mashicha does not work. Chacham says, I think, also, Mashicha also does work. So let's see what the Gemara says. Darash Rav Bikim Chunya, that's the name of a place. He darshened as follows. Behema Gasa Niknes B'Mashicha, it works for Mashicha. That's what he paskin. You could take the cow and just pull the cow, you'll be koning the cow. So Ashchechinu Shmuel, the Talmud de Rav. Shmuel, who's always the Bar Plugsa, the Rav, once came across one of the Talmidim of the Rav. And Amalhu, so he says to the Talmidim of Rav, me Amar Rav, Behema Gasa Niknes B'Mashicha. I overheard someone saying that your Rebbe paskin that Behema Gasa can be acquired through Mashicha. But Ha'anan B'Mesir Tanan, but we have a Mishnah here in Maseches Chedushin Daf Chaf Hamad Beis tells us that Mesir works, not Mashicha. Mesir is handing it over the reins, and Mashicha is pulling. So Mashicha does not work. So Amar, so Rav Nami B'Mesira Amar. So Rav also holds Mesira. So Hadar Bey, so that's what he passing. In other words, look at Rashi. Right, 1 second there. So again, they argue back that Rav also holds Mesir, not Mashicha. So then he said, Amar Hadar Bey Me'ahu. Did he go back on the following? Was he Choser on the following? So Amar Hadar Bey Me'ahi. The Amar Ki Haytana De Tanya Chachamim Omrim Zu Vezu Niknes B'Mashicha. Rabbanan Rabbi Shimon Omer Zu Vezu B'Hagba. Chachamim in the Brisa says that you're able to be koner both the Behema Gasa and Behema Daka B'Mashicha. So was he Choser on this? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says Hadar Bey V'Chulei B'Tmiya. Ad hacha Shmuel kamarle. Shmuel is saying this is everything he's saying to him. Is it really true that Rav says Behema Niknes B'Mashicha? And then didn't Rav say B'Mesira? But then he has a brayse that says really Mashicha works. And Rashi says Zuvazu Hadak Vagasa Ki Aitanis Relay the Rav. Rav holds that both them work. That both Mashicha works for both Behema Gasa and Behema Daka. That's the response. In a Chanami, he holds Mashicha works against the Rebbe Meir. 1 second here. Right, okay, so that's how Rav again. In the end of the day, Rav paskins the Mashicha works for Behema Gasa. So Gemara says, if that's the case, if a Behema Gasa like a cow, I pull it. That's the way I'm acquiring it. So Maskev la Rav Yosef El Miata peel the Rabbi Shimon b'Mayikna. How in the world can you? Rashi says. Look what's going on here. He's asking Rabbi Shimon. The question is to Rabbi Shimon, who holds Hagbah works. How in the world can you lift an elephant? An elephant's impossible to lift up. How could you accomplish Hagbah? So he answers, Amar le, Abai b'chalipin. You're right. You can't do Hagbah by an elephant, but you can do chalipin. You take a sudar, you take a little handkerchief, you lift it up, and that's how you're able to be kona appeal. Inami, alternatively, b'socher es Mekomo, you could, in my property, you want to buy my elephant, so I'm going to rent out to you that property that he's standing on will be yours, and then your reshus becomes your chatzir, then you can be kona the peel by standing in your chatzir. So Rabbi Zeir Amar, no, I have another etza. Rabbi Zeir suggests, Amar mevi arba kelim umanichem tachas raglav. So we could do is, like they do in the circus, you place those little big, I don't know, cones, but a little platform for each of the four legs, and they elephant steps 1 foot after the next, and all four legs now are elevated on these four stools, and that's how you acquire it. That's a type of Hagbah. You don't have to lift it up, but you have to be somehow the cause of the elephant to be elevated.
It has to be Tvachim.
I think Shlosha Tvachim. Yeah, Shlosha Tvachim, right. That's off, considered off the ground. Shmas Minah, we learn from here that Kalev Shalokech Bershus Mocher Akana Lokech. So does this mean that if I'm acquiring it, my kelim in your property as a seller could acquire things? My kli cannot circumvent your chatzar. If this is in your property, I can't put a kli and start catching things because it's your chatzar is taking it over here. So how can I place my stools here in these four spots for the elephant to step up on my stools in your property? It doesn't work like that. The Gemara says, no, we're talking about a situation of hacha b'maya skinan b'simta. We're talking about a simta, a neutral territory. Nobody owns it. It's in the alleyway, somewhere in the streets. Nobody owns it. So that, where it's a neutral zone, then I can place my kalim in order to have the elephant elevated to acquire the elephant. Which case about?
About that somebody puts a kelim on.
Oh, the Gemara in the end, the Gittin talks about that. Maybe the. You haven't been to the Daf Yomi in a while, so maybe. Yeah. So fine. Lastly, the Gemara says inami bechavile zmoros. So it comes to another suggestion. The way to lift it up is exactly what's chavile zmoros. It's some type of bundles of branches of some sort. Yeah. Branches. What is it?
Agudot shel anafim.
Some type of branches. So Rashi says, what does it mean? What has it answered the question? So Rashi says, chavile zmoros hagvoim min haaretz shloshet tfachim molichin alem. You have a pile of branches that are elevated 3 tefachim, that's the air question, 3 tefachim off the ground. Has to be obviously very strong to hold the weight of the elephants. And the hagbas shlosh tefachim, hagbahi, the nafkala mitaris lavud. Lavud is the halachas we find in Sukkah and Erevin, and within 3 tefachim, we don't view that as being a broken space. Even though it is, we could see through, that's considered connected. So the animal's still on the ground if it's less than 3 tefachim. Some other halachal mice that relates to this, let's say Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to climb trees because trees are, it's concerned you might break off a branch. Can I climb on if the tree is very low, or if they're, let's say, the stump or the roots are coming up? If it's below 3 tefachim, it's part of the ground, that's normal. Above 3 tefachim, that's already considered elevated, that you can climb. Well, let's say it comes to the brachas of ha'etz. You say ha'etz on a tree. What's considered a tree? So the Shabura says it's a 3 tefachim above, that's considered a tree. Below that, that's considered part of the ground, that's an adama. So here too, so you have 3 tefachim of branches. The elephant walks up the 3 branches, or the 3 tefachim branches. That's considered a hagbah. That's how you could get him off the ground and be konet. But then there's this fascinating tosas, which becomes a whole tumult in the modern day scientists as follows. Tosos says, Dibur Matzchel inami bechavili zmoros, halfway down Tosos. He writes, quoting from Mefarish HaRebi HaRav Meshulam, you see that around 5 narrow lines down in Tosos there? Rav Meshulam says, Dilahachi nakit chavili zmoros. Why do they choose chavili zmoros? Why not say like a platform, a ramp or something? Yeah. So, how could an elephant stand on branches? He's going to just crush the branches, won't lift him up. That's what animals, that's what elephants would eat. So what would you do? So you take this, the food, magbim lepil, you raise them up on a high branch, chavizmos lamala, vu kofates, the elephant jumps, u magbia is asma min haaret, svochlan, he jumps and eats it. So we see, that's how you do agba.
That's it.
So what's the problem? Have you ever seen an elephant jump before?
Dumbo.
Have you ever seen an elephant jump? No, elephants cannot jump. So what some people say is that they said that because the Tosfos lived in Europe. They didn't have elephants in Europe, and they didn't know what elephants were. That's what some suggest. And this became a whole big discussion. How can you say that against Tosfos? So what it means is, Pasha says, he didn't jump. Elephant could lift its front legs up. You've seen that before, a circus. It didn't jump. It just lifts its front legs up and gets off the ground 3 tefachim. That's good enough. That's Pashas. Anyways, that became a whole big discussion in...
Maybe the elephants in those days were jumping.
Yeah.